All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight since we were last on the air. The Hoosiers went 2-0 under Archie Miller at home against Illinois and on the road at Iowa, both with different storylines, different things going on in them. But the most important now is four games straight. The Hoosiers have won to end up their big, long stretch, their difficult stretch of seven games in 18 days. They finished it with a victory at Rutgers, then home victories, Minnesota, Illinois, and on the road yesterday in a odd fashion, I guess, against Iowa, 84-82. But the bottom line there, four of the, in fact, the bottom four teams in the Big Ten, they came up on your schedule, two on the road, you beat them. That's what you're supposed to do. And that's what the Hoosiers have done. And they'll have a chance here this next week, Tuesday and Friday, to prove maybe some naysayers wrong as you play Nebraska and Ohio State, both teams near the top of the standings. But Glass, four straight wins, it's taking care of business and doing it in a little bit different ways every night out. Juwan Morgan, he's obviously getting a lot more attention, but other players have started to step up, and it's a good time that they've started to step up. Devontae Green's playing his best ball of the year, maybe his definitely his career at this point. And Robert Johnson has had a couple up-and-down games, but was absolutely fantastic against Iowa on Saturday when they needed him, set a record for nine threes. Is the Iowa victory, though, because of the threes, that's not smoke and mirrors, is it? Because they did a lot more than just hit three-pointers to get to stay in that game and to end up winning that game.
No, I think there's multiple factors that are helping Indiana right now. The bench is a huge one. Again, another big performance on Wednesday night last week, 38 bench points. Go back and look at what Justin Smith has done the last couple of games. Great production. That's all you can ask for out of that spot. The play of Devontae Green, a passenger, not one of his best games on Wednesday, but what I like is he bounces back. What we've seen in the past is maybe one good game from Devontae in five or six games. Now it's one bad game and three or four good ones, one bad game. He's not going to be perfect.
Right.
When you were the 340.
You saw it out of Robert Johnson, who was great for about a month straight.
Devontae and had Green was a 346 player in his class, recruiting class. So if you're setting the bar a little high for him, that's to me a little silly. But Robert Johnson has been different. He plays almost every minute of every game. It's nice to see him break out of his three-point funk, at least for a night. But you know what? We saw Rod Wilmot do that once. We saw Matt Roth do it once. What does it mean? It means they had a really good night shooting the basketball. Can they do it a couple more times, three or four more times? I don't know. Maybe.
Good time to start it.
Well, I mean, Robert Johnson was 2-6 on his home court against Illinois on Wednesday and then pumps in 9-12 at Iowa on Saturday. So you tell me on that one. But what I know, it was a good shot. It was good confidence. He was playing well. He did not have six turnovers at Iowa like he did on his home court when they were beating Illinois. So this is a microcosm of what we've seen this season. You've seen some really good play at times. You've seen some really scratch-your-head play at some times. And that's what happens when you have a team that's trying to grab onto an identity, grab onto a new culture, put together what coach wants them to do. But as you saw on Wednesday night, where maybe it was the defense. Hey, look, there's that three-point shooting again, 21%, holding Illinois to 41% from the field. Well, the defense for once and didn't show up on Saturday. And what happens? Well, your offense finds a way to bail you out. And Archie Miller was first to say that in his press conference after the game. He said, hey, look, we haven't had a lot of times where we sat back and talked about how great our offense has been.
Yeah, that's right.
And
it's been a struggle.
You could have great offense in the numbers sense where Justin Smith, Robert Johnson, and Juwan Morgan had 68 of the 75 at Minnesota in a winning effort, or you could have great offense where it kind of spreads it across the board. And I think that's what more of what he was thinking. Perhaps against Iowa where you had, 12, 15, 18, and 29. I mean, that's a really solid performance.
Yeah.
But what Indiana did last week was beat two teams they should have, a two-win Illinois team and a three-win Iowa team in the conference. And you don't get anywhere till you start beating teams you should beat. And it stinks for Indiana fans who want to contend for a Big Ten championship last week. I get it. No big deal. But what this team is doing is finding a way to shoot the basketball at a better clip, and they have been doing that without three-pointers.
Yeah.
The two-point shot has not been a problem. Indiana shot 59% against they were 20 of 30 against Illinois from two. Well, that's a fantastic percentage. Then they go on the road, and you take out 14 there, so that's what? 18 of 33, It's really good. Any way you slice that. Yeah. So what it means is they're taking better shots. They are coachable. That was the one thing that Archie Miller was more than happy about after the Wednesday game against Illinois, how he said, hey, these guys with four or five games left in the year could have tuned it out, not cared, showed up, did nothing, tried to hot dog it, pad their stats. They didn't. They went in and they took care of business. And those are the small things that no Indiana basketball fan wants to talk about right now, but those are things that matter because little things, as we've learned, turn into big things. And if little things aren't being done right, big things start to happen. So you don't see reckless abandonment on offense, either shooting the ball as much or passing the ball or even the tempo you play with. The ball moves now. The extra movement in the Iowa game got you all those shots.
No, it seems Illinois is the one thing that trips them up when it comes to turnovers, but largely they've been very, very good
this
year.
And I think Illinois has tripped a lot of teams up with turnovers on that thing. So when you look back at the wholeness of the Wednesday-Saturday, you had to beat those teams. Illinois had already gotten you once.
Yeah.
And Iowa, you'd taken care of. You knew they were going to be ready for a better fight on their home court. And it was nice to see a team on the road that got the first 10 shots made on them, not go in a shell, not get down 22 and call it a day.
Yep.
They dug themselves out. They didn't do it by doing anything silly. They finally found their feet on the defensive end. They moved the ball and got really good shots. You could tell by the percentage and got back into the game and found a way to win it. With what late? So probably some defense. I think Iowa scored
Freddie McSwain made three straight plays
on defense
late in the game.
Two on defense,
and then the layup.
Yeah, the great pass from Devontae Green. Uh-huh. So you have guys that Devontae Green and Freddie McSwain, who a month ago you weren't even. You couldn't add up all their stats and get a month's worth of stats.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. So to see those guys develop, to see those guys develop and find their role, and to see as the game went on. It's not over just yet. You know, that was Iowa over there. That wasn't Michigan State over there that knocked down their first 10 shots.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get into some details why I thought it was a good win for a couple different individual reasons. But when you go on the road, it's not easy. And there are no easy wins, I guess, unless you're Michigan State going to play Northwestern. You get down 27, you come back and win.
Well, but I mean, they got Northwestern's best shot for 30 minutes also. I mean, Nebraska went to Illinois. Nebraska's playing great ball in the Big Ten, and they got beat over there. So it is hard to win.
It is, and that's what makes it somewhat exciting. This team this year has two more wins than last year's team with two more games to go. That's improvement. They're the number, two Ken Pom team in defense in the league or whatever that is behind Michigan State. They're in the top 50 nationally now.
Yeah.
When they were giving up 18, 19 threes to Indiana State and Fort Wayne earlier in the year.
56th on defense, but I mean still.
It's progress.
180th or something.
They haven't stayed at one level, and we sit here and try to figure out why. They've improved.
I'll tell you what was interesting.
Now
about
it's fun to watch.
What was interesting to me about the Iowa game.
23 assists in the Iowa game. My goodness.
You mentioned the comeback. I mean, it's 23-10 when Archie Miller calls timeout.
Yeah, 13-41. Before they missed their first shot.
These guys, the last couple years, you know, the guys who've been here for a couple years, they have been criticized loudly, and deservedly so to a large degree, or at least to some degree, about maybe not showing some passion, maybe not showing the intensity, maybe not taking it to the defensive end, not taking it to the decision-making, those sorts of things, looking for easy stuff, trying to get away with easy stuff. But to me, it was their demeanor at 23-10 that helped them out. They weren't in a hustle. They weren't in a hurry. They didn't get panicked. They didn't get freaked out. Well, they weren't overexcited about the moment. They were calm, and they simply fought their way through it.
And they did and that when they were up 20.
The shots
Minnesota.
Stopped being made at a 100% clip by Iowa. Well, and IU started to make.
I think that's a sign of maturity because I know Archie told them in the huddle, "Look, guys, they're not going to make the next 10. So they're not going to be 20
we're only
for 20
8 minutes in.
Now they might be if you keep letting them get post position. They turn and shoot. Make layups on you. That might be a problem. So maybe we should stop that, pressure the ball a little bit, figure out who's killing us and not let them kill us. So there were adjustments made. And, you know, Iowa at one point was shooting, 11 of 13?
Yeah.
There were 15 of 19 and 15 of 21 at one TV timeout. I don't even want to look at my notes at that because I was adding it up just saying, my gosh, when is it going to end? They were 11 of 13 at the 11:47 TV timeout.
Yeah.
11 to 13, and 85%. And they were only up 10.
And some of it was good, you know, was hot shooting. But some of it was good position, as you mentioned. I mean, they were getting in the lane way too easily.
And you know what? Luka Garza had how many and then finished with how many?
And stopped,
he was done. Tyler Cook was really good. He's a handful for everybody to get figured out.
Yeah, Colin Hartman got in Garza's head late in that game.
He did.
McSwain was all over Tyler Cook on a couple big possessions late in that game, which was, you know, fantastic. The kid had 28 points and 10 rebounds. So,
but Justin Smith goes and scores 8 of 11 in a run to off the bench. And that's exactly what you need your bench to do. And you talk about these one-off performances that we've seen throughout the year, or one, skip 5 or 6 games and then have another one. Mm-hmm. The closer these get together, the better this team is going to be. And you saw Smith come off the bench against Illinois with Al Durham, with Josh Newkirk, and rack out 38 points. I mean, that's pretty good. 38 off your bench every night. So Smith has 13 that night. He's 5 of 7. Then in the Iowa game, all he does is dunk everything in sight. Mm-hmm. He's 5 of 7 in that game and fouls out. But he has 15 points in 20 minutes off the bench.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to say, well, Justin Smith's only doing that against Illinois and Iowa, well, that's fine. And he did against Minnesota, too. Yes, all those teams are below Indiana in the standings. I get it. But that's better than not having any performance at all to sit here and talk about and brag about. So there is something there from the bench. I thought Colin Hartman off the bench was excellent. 5 assists. He blocked a couple shots, had a couple steals.
Yeah.
What did he do? Well, everything you expect a fifth-year senior to do. Go in there, get better position. Don't let Garza score every time he touches the ball.
Well, Garza,
help out.
I mean, Garza's twice as tall and twice as big as Colin Hartman.
Doesn't matter.
He didn't give him any position.
Hartman's
pushed
twice
him
as
away.
Smart.
Yeah, pushed him away from the
physical.
Basket and made it very hard on him. He never got anything easy down the stretch.
It was, but I think I tweeted it out after the game because I thought it was a big deal just going through the stat box. I just stare at the stat box the whole game anyhow. You have 69 minutes for Green and Johnson. You have 2 turnovers on the road. That's enormous.
Yeah.
Because go look at the turnovers they had at home against Illinois.
Yeah.
It was 100.
Right.
On their home court.
10 between the two of them.
Which is crazy for those guys. They shoot 17 of 24 from the field, 13 of 17 from three, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds combined.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because Johnson misses the biggest shot of the night was that free throw
that
could have iced everything. But he gave you 29 before that, so let's not go too crazy. But people forget Devontae Green had 18 in that game.
Mm-hmm.
When nothing was going well in the first half, he's hitting 15-foot teardrops and knocking in some threes to keep Indy in the ball game. But they don't run from the fight. They're not bothered by it anymore. They were bothered by it playing Fort Wayne. They were bothered by it playing Indiana State. There was something there that they said, wow, see it, all this that's happening here, I don't like this.
They were at a different speed.
I want to go, I don't want to be here
anymore.
They
were not at the right speed.
This is not any fun. And you figure out when you listen to coaches, when you work the game plan, when you figure out what's happening and you say, look, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
We're going to be okay. And these things happen. You want to call them meaningless victories? Go ahead. You're allowed to. You're a fan. It's short for fanatic. But when you go and you've won 4 in a row in the Big Ten, I think you can live with it. Should you have beaten Illinois perhaps before, and should you have maybe won that game at Wisconsin? I don't know if you – and I talk about this every week because I don't know if you do win those games if these things don't switch and turn. If you get the production out of Devontae Green, if you found a role for Freddie McSwain, I don't know if all that happens because those – injections into the lineup have changed the fortunes of Indiana basketball.
Yeah, I mean, the lineup has been in flux, you know, other than Robert Johnson and Juwan Morgan all year long. So, I mean, there's been changes during the course of the season. You know, Zach McRoberts wasn't playing at the beginning of the season. Now he's starting to play in 30 minutes a game at
times.
He's
not in foul trouble. That's exactly right.
Yeah, so, I mean,
that's how it works.
There's a lot that goes in there with the growth.
But
I mean, what we're not talking about is we're not talking about a team that's going to compete for the national championship.
No.
Now, if that's your only goal, and that seems to have been over several years now, then you can go ahead and bail on these guys. But I think you're exactly right. What you're seeing is a team that across the board is growing.
And playing better at the end of the season.
Yeah.
In year one.
And a perfect example of that, as you mentioned, is probably Justin Smith. Now, Josh Newkirk was good the other night, I believe, against Illinois. These are two guys that got benched not that long ago. And here they are embracing fewer minutes and coming in and giving you some real energy off the bench. 13 and 15 now for Justin Smith. Josh Newkirk had 11 the other night against Illinois. So that, to me, is a sign of the entire group coming along. Because not only is Devontae Green coming along and being obvious because he's playing 30 minutes a game, and Robert Johnson certainly has been doing so. Juwan Morgan's been great all year. But then here's guys who have seen that, you know, it kick them in the face. The way they were playing wasn't great, wasn't well enough, so somebody else got their time. They're making the most of the time that they are getting and not sulking about the entire thing. So it really does seem like the entire team is coming along. Al Durham, same situation. He was starting there for a while. Now he's coming off the bench, but has gotten his confidence back. So to me, it's, you know, I listened to a little bit of the Illinois game the other night. He's bemoaning the students not being out for this team. He's exactly right. I mean, if you don't like the fact that they're 9-7 and not going to the NCAA tournament, okay, I get that. But they are a fun team to watch. they're a fun team to watch now.
They play hard.
And they've got two chances this week at home against or on the road against Nebraska, home against Ohio State, to get some real attention. It's still not getting them in the NCAA tournament unless they win the Big Ten tournament.
How many wins do they have in the league?
But this is a chance to show what they've learned against the top five in the league in that kind of competition now.
How many wins in the league do they have?
Nine.
They win two more, they have 11.
Correct.
They win two more in the Big Ten tournament, they have 13.
Yes.
Okay. Now, yeah. Those are things in front of them that are definitely possible.
Yes. They could go 4-1 in the next five opportunities.
Now, name a team in America that's not on the bubble right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, Nebraska is 11-5 and is on the bubble, according to everybody.
There you go.
Penn State, in my opinion, and Nebraska there should be in a tournament with the way that they play. But
and the interesting part is how pressure affects teams. There will be no pressure on this team going down the stretch.
No.
If anything, Nebraska has all of it tomorrow night because they have to beat Indiana to get closer to that. They've already thrown away their one game losing at Illinois.
Yep.
They threw it away. Ohio State, the collars on their shirt have gotten much tighter. They lost twice last week. Once getting ran out of the gym, they were down 24 points at halftime at Penn State, essentially playing for to stay in the league championship race. That's how they responded. Down 45-21 at halftime at Penn State. They lose by 23 in that game.
Yep.
Then they rebound against one of their quote-unquote, I don't know if it's a rival in any sport besides football. You'd have to ask the Ann Arborites and the Columbusans on that one. But if you're playing Michigan and you're trying to win a league championship and you're playing your rival and you don't win that game either, the jersey collar's getting just a little bit, it's getting a little hard to breathe in here. So they have to come here on Friday, and Indiana has nothing in the world, the weight on their shoulders.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. They can play as
senior
free
with
as they
five
like.
Seniors.
They move the basketball, play a little defense. That could bother some people. Can they win the Big Ten tournament? I don't think so. But I think a night for Robert Johnson hits 7-8 threes, the team hits 14-24 threes. It's a great equalizer in college basketball. Sure, they can pull an upset. If Northwestern can get Michigan State down 27, essentially on a neutral court there at the Allstate Arena, why can't you? The funny thing is, in the last however many years, we haven't spoke at this time of year about things jolting forward. It's kind of always been a hang on, let's get into the barn and just get a couple extra days of rest and see what happens. So this is uncharted territory. It makes it kind of fun and it makes it kind of interesting because they're performing. This isn't – we're not dressing this up. We're not putting perfume on a pig.
Yeah.
They're playing better than they were a month ago, and they're playing better than they were 2 months ago, and those are the facts.
And Indiana fans ought to be smart enough to see that.
Easily.
I get the records in all three-win teams, all four of the teams they've beaten.
Great.
But that's what's on your schedule. Your tougher teams were earlier, and now you got, as I said, two chances this coming week. We'll talk a little bit more about the Hoosiers when we get back from the break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Right, back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. It is a relatively sparse week here for programming, but we do still have our Olympics during the evening. 10 to midnight is the Olympics recap show, and that's 2 hours, so you get some sports included in there. They're not just reading off medal counts to you. IU, of course, plays a couple times this weekend, but we continue our high school basketball with our season, regular season closer, New Albany comes to town. Romeo Langford heads to the north side. 7:30 is tip-off, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk on Friday night. We'll, of course, be back with you Wednesday night. Hoosiers play tomorrow night, 9 o'clock at Nebraska. Nebraska coming off a loss at Illinois. Nebraska's been playing very well in the conference. Their schedule has not been that difficult, and they didn't really get a great win outside of that, so they are considered to be on the bubble. And then the Hoosiers end the season with Ohio State, and that is senior night here. And again, we're going to have five seniors, players, obviously, on the team. So that'll be an emotional night for guys like Robert Johnson, Colin Hartman, and
Part two.
Freddie McSwain. Yeah, exactly. We keep doing Colin Hartman until he
Priller.
Until he runs out of eligibility. Priller's
all,
in there,
baby.
Too. Yeah, exactly. So. But it'll be and Josh Newkirk, of course, too. But, yeah, so a chance here. You know what? Look, you can't get around the fact that the four teams that the Hoosiers just beat are all tied for the basement right now in the Big Ten, each with three Big Ten wins. That's the schedule the way it was laid out. All right, they aren't great teams. They aren't playing well.
Yeah, so imagine what kind of show we'd have to do if we went 2-2 over these games.
Well, exactly right. The point there, though, is you won two of them on the road. Now, Iowa is a soft team. I mean, they just are. They're an offensive team. They run up and down. They're kind of like, you know, frankly, some of Tom Crean's teams. They didn't play a lot of defense. Got up and down the floor. So that one,
Robert Johnson in transition.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm more impressed, I guess. I don't know. I liked the way they went out to Rutgers. At the end of all of that, it was 18 days. It was seven games. And their last trip was a one-day turnaround at Rutgers against a team that likes to just kind of punch you in the mouth. Now, maybe they used up all their energy and their loss to Purdue a couple days beforehand, but I like the way the Hoosiers attacked that. And that, to me, is a sign. If you come home to Minnesota and Illinois, who aren't playing very well, Illinois plays hard, but you beat them at home, you're expected to do that.
Dan Dawkins had a great quote.
You go on the road, those teams are expecting to beat you. Yeah. And so you took care of business, and I think that means something.
Dan Dawkins had a great point. He said, teams with two or three wins in the league struggle to play 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Can't stay with
now,
their stuff.
Indiana struggled to play 40 minutes, but luckily their bad was on the beginning.
Right.
And had time to dig themselves out of a hole. Now, Indiana had a 13-point lead. That went all the way down to whatever it was before Freddie McSwain untied the game, right? Wasn't it tied late? Whatever it was, 82-82, right? And you make a play. You make a play defensively. You force Bo Hannon into a bad shot. His foot was on the line. So even if it went in, you're tied anyhow. Then Cook gets a great rebound, and he's panicking because he's not sure how much time's left on the clock. That's what three-win teams do. So Indiana held their nerve in that game against Iowa. Yeah, like I said, it wasn't Michigan State down there you're looking at and saying, oh, geez, it'll be a long day. No, it's Iowa. So relax. Play ball. What they did is they relaxed and played ball. They didn't do some things that we might have seen earlier in the year that try to get it all back in one possession or two possessions. They didn't. They didn't really take a lot of bad shots. And that's, I think, the thing they're growing from. 23 assists is the most in the Big Ten this year. You cannot dispute moving the basketball when you have 23 assists.
Yeah.
You can't make that up. It's not a hockey assist. It's not John Stockton who passes it to Karl Malone, takes 19 dribbles and goes and scores. That's not how it works.
Right.
The basketball was moving. They got out-rebounded by 14. You know why? Well, Iowa didn't miss any shots for half an hour. Yeah. That's why.
That's right. That's right.
They got out-lined, free-throw-lined, 22-9. 19-6 in points.
Mm-hmm.
But for once, the three ball goes in, and they're plus 15 at the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to do something if something else doesn't work. It's not like they said, today's the day we're going to shoot the three.
Right.
For whatever reason, Iowa said, hey, look, we'll let Robert Johnson shoot threes. Or they were very slow in identifying where he was.
Well, certainly were his last several. They didn't get out on him.
Robert Johnson knocked down 9-12, a school record. Devontae Green hit 4-5. You know, Juwan Morgan hit 1-2. And Josh McRoberts was 0-2. So your starters knocked down 15 of 20. Won three-pointers. That hasn't happened all season long. Or 14 of of 21, whatever it is. That hasn't happened. So is that a good thing? Yeah, it's a good thing because that should give them confidence in doing so. But what I liked in these last two games was you didn't need Juwan Morgan to go 28-16-9
right.
in each game to have Indiana win. Because that, to me,
got
is
more contributions.
Well, that's more fool's.
You've got to be balanced.
That's more fool's goldie to me than knocking down 14 threes.
Right. Because here's the thing. About
one
threes,
guy hit nine of them.
They have only had one other game where they hit double-digit threes. They hit 12 in the Eastern Michigan game, which was in November.
Right.
So, I mean, this is not
when everybody
normal
still
for them.
They could shoot.
Yeah, and I think it'd be really easy to say, oh, you had to have the threes to get you out of this game if they weren't able to clamp down on defense at different points in time. Now, they scored 82 points, so I don't want to go crazy on the defense because there was a period of time there where they weren't playing very good defense.
No.
But they figured it out from that point forward is the whole point of the equation.
But remember, Iowa had 25 points at the 8-minute mark in the first half. So you're the math guy here. Help me out. What is that?
Yeah.
57 the rest of the night in 30 minutes or in 32 minutes. That's not terrible.
Yeah.
It's not terrible. So they did find their way defensively. They finally found a way to slow them down a little bit.
There was the stretch at the beginning. As you mentioned, it was 23-10 when Archie Miller takes a timeout. There was also the stretch when they got up
72-59.
So it was 13 points at that point.
Right.
And Bohannon or somebody hit about three straight threes.
He hit two and then got a two.
Yeah, that was the only other stretch where you kind of scratch your head because they weren't scoring on the other end either. And that came off of about three straight Robert Johnson.
Well, and Archie talked about that too. He said that's the part that bothered him because when Iowa went back to man-to-man there, then Indiana started throwing the ball away again.
Yeah.
And that was one of the deals. You just said, hey, you know, you don't need to do that. You're up a few. You get a timeout there. You get a timeout in there. You get another timeout in there just to kind of try to calm some things down. Justin Smith picks up his fourth foul at the nine-minute mark. So, a guy that's giving you a spark off the bench has to go sit. Mm-hmm. I thought part of that run, a little bit of that run, especially with Tyler Cook, I thought was fine. And this is why. If Juwan Morgan, who got his third foul at like the 17-58 mark in the second, it was ridiculous.
Early.
17:44. McSwain got his third at 18:38. So that's not even 3 minutes in the second half.
Yeah.
So here's what I liked about Morgan, and this is why I thought it was smart. Okay, did he get beat a couple times? Yeah. You know what he didn't do? He didn't compound the error by ticky-tack fouling Cook, give him a three-point play, and then going to sit down.
Yeah.
Because here's what would have given, in my opinion, Iowa, a very fragile team, to them to say in the huddle, Morgan's got four.
Their best players
we got
on the bench.
14 minutes forever. To go. Yep. He's on the bench.
Yep.
This is where we're going to make our big move.
Right, and nobody can handle you, Tyler Cook.
And Morgan was smart. So when he was beat, he let him go. Mm-hmm. He didn't try to make any 50-50 plays that would have put him at odds with the referee's whistle or anything else. That's smart basketball because Juwan Morgan has no chance of scoring when he sits on the bench.
Right.
So if he lets Cook score, he can still play offense.
And you got to throw other bodies at him, and they did
you
that
do.
Too.
And Colin Hartman had a chance, and Freddie had a chance,
Yeah.
So, but the point is, they were smart, and Morgan was smart. He got his fourth, I think, with 3 minutes to go and just basically stayed away from him after that.
Yeah,
they put Freddie on at that point. Give Iowa a chance to say, okay, now we don't have Morgan. Because guess what happens when you don't have Morgan? Everybody guards Robert Johnson.
Yes, exactly.
Everybody. Yeah. And that stops Indiana's offense completely.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough to do.
Then you're going to watch Devontae Green dribble around in circles.
And by Morgan allowing Cook to get some baskets there in that stretch when he had three fouls, I thought it was pretty smart because it didn't – everybody says, wow, that was good. You didn't give up the layup there. But once you get a foul, you can't take the fouls away.
Yeah.
You can't do it that way. So don't worry about Morgan getting killed on things like that.
A few twos is better than passing out to Bohannon and hitting a couple threes.
And if Morgan didn't score the last 6 or 7 minutes, he's still on the floor and you have to know where he is every single time down the court, which opens up driving lanes for Josh Newkirk, which opens up maybe a driving lane or two. Johnson got a scoop shot in there because
Morgan had a big bucket late too.
He did. Of course, he had a dunk, got fouled on the dunk. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can't do that when you're not on the court. So, again, that's another sign of growing up. It's not he's going to dunk it. I better block his shot or foul him. No, just let him go. And you see better plays and smarter plays. Devontae Green had one turnover in 31 minutes. That sounds like a broken record. That's been like four of the last five games where he's played 30 minutes and had one turnover.
That's kind of amazing.
Now, it was bad against Illinois, but Illinois, that's a team that bothers a lot of teams into turnovers. Indiana, I think, had 18 or 19 that night.
18 in both games against Illinois.
And Johnson and Green had about 20 of the 40 in those games. That's what happened. But to see Green score 8 of Indiana's first 10 points when nothing's going on offensively, when everybody's bothering Morgan and everybody's doing this.
Devontae Green has 10 turnovers in his last six games.
Yeah,
he played over 30 minutes in five of those six.
Yep.
And the Illinois game at home was the one where
20 minutes
where he had to come out a little early because of the turnovers.
And he had a little problem. He fell on a guy, too, got a little banged
that's
up,
right.
dinged up
yeah,
on
that's
that.
Right. That
but the point was Indiana had so many opportunities to not be around in this game. The Illinois game, they get off to a terrible start as well. You know Illinois wasn't going to shoot it as well because, number one, they're on the road. Number two, they're not very good offensively.
Right.
But Iowa, you just hang around. You take a punch. You take another punch. You're getting killed in about every facet of the game, and you find a way to win it. That's the encouraging thing to me. You're down at one point in the first half, 13. You cut it to 3, and then you win the second half by 5 points on the road. Those are scoring 40 points in each half. You've done something. You've gone out and done it. Yeah, it isn't at East Lansing. Not a lot of teams win at East Lansing. It's not Purdue. Yeah, I understand all that. But is it better to sit here 4-0 bemoaning we haven't beaten anybody than saying, well, we just split four games against the bottom of the league?
812-333-2665 is the phone number. Question for you. The game at Iowa on both ends of the floor, and I'm not by no means am I picking on them.
Go ahead, pick on them. That's fine.
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm not.
they're big boys. They can take it.
The game at Iowa, he had foul trouble, but Juwan Morgan, to me, looked tired.
Yeah, he should
be. A good bit of the time. Yeah. We have had to rely on him for a lot of this season. Are you concerned about that right now, or do you think there is a period here where he can you know, that's coming off that big stretch, and now you get a little bit more contribution and things take, and then you can get your legs back.
Hey, he played 27 minutes. That's probably the least he's played in some
time.
It's
been a while, yeah.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. The other thing is he can be a decoy. And when Indiana runs
37 against Illinois.
Well, there you go. So you got 10 less against Iowa on the road, yeah. And you still found a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
Look at 14-10 against Illinois and 12-2 against Iowa, and you're 2-0 in those games.
Yeah.
That's balance. That's things that are helping. That's things moving in the right direction. Al Durham had no points in 12 minutes, 2 assists against Iowa. He's not going to bring it every night. He's mm-hmm. a freshman. So you have to rely on other guys. And then Devontae Green steps back up and plays a game. So you're getting ham. You're getting eggs. You're getting a little bit. Earlier in there, you weren't getting anything. You were getting Juwan Morgan's 22, and then if Johnson gave you double figures, it was great.
Right.
And then, oh, man, there's 10 from Freddie.
Yeah.
Well, where'd that come from? So you're finding ways to contribute. You're finding roles guys are comfortable in. I think that Josh Newkirk looks more comfortable off the bench than he does starting.
Yes.
But again,
well, at least right now he does.
Well, he has no choice right now because that's where it is. Colin Hartman, when he's healthy, he does just so many little things, and they just add up every game. You don't have to depend on McRoberts every night to give you something when you have Colin and McRoberts.
Right.
You don't have to rely on Durham, Newkirk, and Green every night when you have Durham, Newkirk, and Green every night. Mm-hmm. If you're getting 2 out of 3 of those, you're okay. You wish this would have started earlier. You wish it would have been this. You would have done. Well, you just, that doesn't. You don't know how that goes. Deron Davis was the focal point of this offense before the season started to a degree.
That's right. That's all you heard about.
And that was going to be it. We're going to play through Deron. Mm-hmm. And then Juwan Morgan essentially has taken over. Is he tired? He should be tired. He plays a ton of minutes. But you're not
worried about that for the next couple
weeks.
Not
at all, because if you saw the workout photos all summer long, here's me before, here's me after. These guys are all in great shape.
Yeah.
And the other thing that Morgan hasn't had to do is carry an injury. He did the ankle at Michigan State.
That's right.
That's it. What'd he do the next game? Came back, played 37 minutes, let everybody and everything.
Yep.
Beat up Maryland.
Yep.
So, no, I'm not worried about that, because if he did that with a bad ankle, he's fine and healthy right now. Would you like to have a perfect world where he'd play 20 minutes a game every now and again? You would. But when you don't blow people out, that's what happens. And you don't expect to blow out on the road. Maybe you want a little bit more at home. This time of the year, everybody's playing for something. Guys are playing for minutes next year. Guys mm-hmm. are playing for tournament bursts. Guys are playing for NIT bursts. Coaches are coaching for jobs. There's always something going on. The dog days, we're kind of coming out of the dog days. And now we're going to see what Nebraska's made of. We're going to see what Ohio State's made of. And we're going to see what Indiana's made of as well. Is this enough for them? Is this enough knowing that we're not playing the first Wednesday of the Big Ten tournament?
Mm-hmm.
That was the big deal after Wednesday's game. I didn't know that was a thing, but that's a thing. They had won enough games when they beat Illinois that they would not play on Wednesday of the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, they clinched that.
We should never, ever talk about that again.
I would hope not.
Ever.
I mean, I hope that's not a regular thing we worry
that's
about.
That's a fan thing for me. Let's not talk about that anymore. But 9-7, are you happy? You won 4 in a row. Maybe you're playing a tough one against Nebraska on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next time that Indiana tells me Nebraska's a tough one, I'm not listening. Go beat them. And then when you say, oh, man, now we got top 2 or 3 Ohio State coming to town on senior night, I don't want to hear it. Go beat them.
I said that months ago when I told you that this team has actually some talent on it and should be playing better than it was. So I'm glad to see the way they're playing now. And what's great about the last couple games, you're getting a lot of guys contributing.
But
that, to me, is the best part. I mean, it's not just one guy who has figured things out.
The point
out.
Is,
it's not just
paper,
two guys figured things out. It's the team.
A couple of knuckleheads like us can talk about what they should do. I'm interested to see what they are continuing to believe in or not believe in or do and accomplish. Because you can talk about going to Iowa and beating 3-win Iowa all day long. Until you do it, you haven't done it.
Yeah.
So if you go out and lay an egg on Tuesday night and come home and lay an egg on Friday, maybe that was the bubble losing a little bit of air.
They've got a chance to prove some naysayers wrong.
I hope not. Because I don't think anybody picked this team to have 10 wins in the league, let alone 11.
Look,
so go out,
and it's not just these 4 games. I mean, if you want to look at what they've done, they've won 1 game against a team ahead of them in the standings.
Yeah, Penn State, that's it.
That's the fact.
That's it.
Everything else is below them.
And they've had a great schedule.
They beat Minnesota twice, Illinois twice, Iowa twice.
Rutgers.
I mean, that's 7 wins right there against the bottom 4.
Rutgers, Penn State, and Illinois. Right? They split with Illinois.
Minnesota, Illinois, Rutgers, and Iowa each have 3 wins. We have 7 wins against those 4 teams.
And that's what you do.
Of our 9.
If you don't beat those teams, nobody cares what you do against.
Yeah.
If you beat Purdue and lose to all those teams.
So now is your chance.
What's the point?
Going forward.
Keep playing good basketball. Keep shooting 55% from the field. Keep taking good shots. Don't turn the ball over 100 times. Don't turn the ball over 10 times against Iowa. Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. These kids play hard. I don't have any problem with their effort.
No,
that's,
not at all.
That's never been a thing this year.
It has been earlier this year, but it hasn't been for a while, and that's the nice part.
And once they
even during the long stretch, they played teams tough. You know, the Ohio State game wasn't their greatest effort of the year, but Penn State or Michigan State and Purdue at home in particular, they played tough.
They played Duke pretty tough at home, too.
They played Duke pretty tough. No, I don't think you can
level of your opponent. I don't think if you just told me all the teams they've beaten, they're not playing to the level of their opponent.
Here this week.
So there you go.
We'll talk about it when we get back from the break. But this week is their chance to prove that wrong. You can say it. It's, again, 7 wins against the bottom 4 teams in the Big Ten out of your 9. That's a fact. But now you've got the chance. You're playing your best ball of the year. Now you got the chance to prove that wrong. 1 on the road, 1 at home on senior night. Take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Again, programming, we still have our Olympics coverage, 10 o'clock to midnight every night during the week. And then on Friday, we pick back up with high school basketball as New Albany and Romeo Langford come to town and face the North Cougars. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk, 7:30 tip-off on Friday night. The Hoosiers with a pair of games this week. They are on the road tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, at Nebraska. Nebraska coming off of a tough game that they lost at Illinois. And then on Friday night, it's Ohio State coming to town. Ohio State's has lost a couple games here recently. That is senior night. And then you head into the Big Ten tournament. We know the Hoosiers are not playing Wednesday of the Big Ten tournament. I'd probably guarantee that they are playing Thursday at this point, given the standings. But
yeah, only the top 4 go on. That would take something quite incredible to do that.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. But this week, you got Juwan Morgan, who has been playing lights out, but has got to be tiring. A Nebraska team that can score, but can also get up in you and is feisty. They are a feisty team. I know you want to win every game.
Yeah,
we're pundits on the radio jabbering. We're not the coaches, so the coaches are obviously going to try to win both games. But
they are. They have nothing else to do.
What should be the expectation for this game for this team?
Play hard and good things happen. That's been the kind of the standard that this team has shown you. When they don't play very hard, in the sense where they don't get after it, they're blown out. They get blown out at Ohio State. They get blown out at Michigan State. When they have those off nights where they don't click and fire, they kind of get a reprieve against Iowa because maybe it was learning experience. Maybe they've been through that before. Maybe they knew how to handle it. But you talked about the Rutgers game. Well, start off like that. Get Nebraska's fans a little worrisome. Get them thinking about, geez, if we don't beat Indiana, how are we going to get into the tournament? And if you're thinking about that at the under 12 timeout in the first half, Indiana's in a good spot because I don't know if Nebraska's going to react to the pressure very well. And this isn't a Nebraska team that has a whole lot of stuff to lean on when things get a little tight. You saw that at the against Illinois on Sunday afternoon. They lose 72-66 in Champaign. Well, yeah, and let's be fair. This is who Nebraska's taken care of. Here in their last. Are you ready for this?
Let's go.
Win Rutgers. Win Iowa. Win Wisconsin. Win Minnesota. Win Rutgers. Win Maryland. Lose Illinois. Now, that's not murderers.
Only Maryland is outside of the bottom 5 there.
That's not murderers row either.
No.
So
that's why they're talking about maybe not getting them in the tournament.
They've won 8 of their last 10. Good for them. They beat Michigan back in January on their home when they were ranked 23rd on their home court. That's a big win for them. Good for them. They lost at Penn State. Okay, they beat Wisconsin twice. This is not the year to beat Wisconsin twice, but they haven't lost to Wisconsin, so that's the good news. But there is nothing that should bother in the sense of Indiana saying, well, this is going to be tough. This is not the paint crew. This is not East Lansing. This is not the Kohl Center, some historically terrible places where Indiana hasn't been.
Yeah.
This is a game against an opponent where Indiana's just as warm. Heck, they've won four in a row. Nebraska's coming off a lot. If Nebraska wants to get fired off, if Nebraska needs something to get them to play hard, then Indiana has nothing to worry about. If Indiana goes out and plays and does their job. But what we've seen that kills Indiana is simple. Bad shots, bad decisions, bad turnovers. That's what kills Indiana. And if they can avoid some of that, you notice they didn't have a ton of bad turnovers against Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa shot the ball really well.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Iowa shooting the ball really well and Indiana had nine turnovers.
Right.
You didn't have that first 10 minutes of just complete and utter destruction. So I think Indiana.
14 points off of turnovers for Iowa.
That's it.
Yeah.
10 of them.
Fast break, 7 points. I mean, they weren't running all up and down the court, which they'd be happy to do if you gave them the opportunity.
You know why? Well, Indiana started getting back in transition defense. Indiana started getting back and identifying people. It took a couple minutes to do so. You don't want Nebraska to get off to a crazy start like that, but I don't think sitting in that locker room up in Lincoln, they're going, oh, geez, we're going to have to walk out. Yeah, they're going to have a nice crowd. 12,000 of them sitting in the Pinnacle Bank Arena, fired up. There's nothing else to do in Lincoln.
They do a good job when they got a good game.
You know what? What'd you do against Iowa? You did well. Yeah, well, you didn't turn the ball over, and you shot it really great. Again, you shot it great for a handful of games from two.
Yeah.
Get good looks at three. Robert Johnson doesn't have to go 9-14. Move the ball. Make one extra pass. When they did that against Iowa, they found better shots. Ball moved, and they got easier shots.
Let me ask you a specific defensive question.
Yeah. James Palmer Jr.
Not even that. I'm looking at the last several games. Early in the season, maybe even before the season, Archie Miller was asked the question specifically, what's your philosophy about pick and roll type defense? And his philosophy was specifically, we got to fight through the screen.
That's right.
And they are, but they are hedging pretty hard and they're rotating very well behind it. And I think, you know, again, Hoosier fans see this. They know basketball. They see this is happening. They see that improvement. But is that a change in philosophy or is that not? Is that something different from earlier in the season where they're hedging that hard? Because they're really coming off the screens hard with the other guy.
I think it's an evolution of how they play defense. I think this is 3 months of being drilled instead of a month of being drilled.
Right.
So this is what.
So you think that was always Archie's intention?
This is what they're doing, yeah. And now they're executing it, and you see now why it could be a little problematic for other teams.
Right.
How this is being played.
I mean, they're very good at it right now.
Well,
they really are.
What you don't see this team giving up is a ton of layups anymore.
Yeah.
Or getting lost. Whose man do you have?
Yeah, right. And looking at each other.
Well, I have your man.
Right.
Well, why do you have my man? I don't have your man. Why do you have my man?
Right.
Well, let's get over that. And then they found a way to simplify things.
No, you still have to fight through the screen.
Right.
It's pretty clear. I mean, there aren't a lot of switches.
There aren't
not a lot of full switches.
There aren't any. There are very rarely any switches. If you go back and watch it, it is help and recover.
Yeah.
It is cause a bother, make them throw a perfect pass, and sometimes Devontae Green throws perfect passes like that, and that's how you beat good defense in that sense. Laron Black had 28 points and 7 boards against Nebraska, so Juwan Morgan's probably licking his lips a little bit. I don't know how well Nebraska's going to get up into you and defend you. Nebraska seems to me like a team that when it's shooting the ball well, everything's going well. And you know what? Indiana doesn't mind getting into a little bit of a rock fight. Doesn't mind playing
Illinois
a little defense.
Illinois got up in them, no question.
And again, if Illinois bothered them, I won't say Illinois plays better defense than Indiana, but they play more hectic defense.
Yes.
Is that a fair,
yes, that
fair
is
way
correct.
To do it? But if Indiana, again, comes to hang their hat on things that they have been doing successfully, I don't see why they can't have a fair fight with Nebraska at all. You kidding me? Of course they can. I mean, that's just part of the deal. You go on the road in the Big Ten, it's going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
They just went on the road and it was really difficult, and they won. They have to be full of confidence. Just be who you've been.
Yeah.
It seems so simple, but when they try to be other things they haven't been,
yeah,
like a big three-point shooting team, tends to get in their way a little bit.
No, they're playing hard. They're playing well right now.
I think that's a fair assessment.
And they've got a chance, like I said, several times already.
But does
they've
their,
got a chance
does their
this
roster
week
still have holes
to,
in it?
They've got a chance this week to shut some people up about their wins this year.
Yeah, I don't think all the problems are quote-unquote solved because of the people they've beaten, as you've pointed out. And they have not increased their roster through free agency.
Right.
They still have it. But when they play as a group, they play pretty well.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Wednesday night to talk about that big road victory in Lincoln. And we'll talk to you then. You've been in the zone.
Yeah.